We'll try not to keep you all too long. I know a lot of you got plans on taking Mom out and all that kind of thing. So we'll just go over a few scriptures, talk a little bit, and then we'll let you be able to do that. Go with me to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 1 here. It says, "And there went out a man of the house of Levi and took a wife of the daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months." Now, we'll just stop here and give you a little backstory here. What's happened here is the children of Israel, they're in Egypt, they're slaves there, and God is blessing in them, and they're multiplying to the place that the Egyptians are now afraid of them because they're outnumbering them. And the Pharaoh has made a decree. First decree he made was he told the midwives, he said, "Listen, there's too many of them, so what we want you to start doing is every time that a male child is born, we want you to kill it." Okay? Now, here's what I like about that story, if you go back there and read it. It says this, that the midwives feared God, and they wouldn't do it. And they told Pharaoh, "We're afraid of God, we won't do it." And the Bible says, then Pharaoh, of course, made a decree for everybody to kill their male child when it's born. But the Bible says this, and I love this. It says, "And God honored the midwives and gave them families." Now, the reason I want to bring that up is right now, it's so important that people understand that abortion is against God. And there's a perfect example of that. The midwives were afraid of God. They wouldn't kill the kids. I'm sorry to say that there's a lot out there that are not afraid of God and they don't care to kill babies. Okay? And you can think, and this is mothers. I know it's Mother's Day, but, you know, mothers are the one that brings us kids, right? Come on, there wouldn't be any children one for mothers. And we're contrary to what the world says out here. Come on. Life begins at conception. Life begins at conception. So when somebody says, "Well, we're going to abort this child," what they're saying is, "We're going to kill a baby." Come on now. God honored them and gave them families because they refused to kill the babies. Wonder what God would do to our country if they would just stand up and say, "Hey, all this abortion junk is against God, and we're afraid of God, and we want to make sure that we're blessed of God." Come on, think about that for just a minute. But it says he blessed them. And so now we're coming into this. Pharaoh's commanded that they kill them themselves. If you have a male child, you kill it. Moses is born. And all of a sudden his mother looks and sees he's a godly child. And she hides him for 3 months. She doesn't want anybody to know that he's been born. And verse 3, when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and dabbed it with slime and with pitch. And put the child there, and she laid it in the flags by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to wit that would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Now, I just want to bring this out because I just want to show you the heart of a mother. When she saw her child, she couldn't kill it and wouldn't kill it because she saw that it was a goodly child. I don't know of any mother that when they look at their child don't think that their child's a goodly child. Come on now. All mothers think the same thing about their kids. But she refused to kill him. Okay? Now, I want you to notice this. She still got to raise him up and impart herself into him, and she got paid to do it. Why? Because she spared his life. And of course, we know how God used Moses to lead the people out of bondage. And so this is a mother's heart here. I can't kill my baby. I love my baby. Now, this is some things that I thought about because, you know, once a mother lays their eyes on their child, they're never the same. They're really never the same. Once they see their child, they are never the same. That child will always be their baby. I mean, you know, I was married, had kids, and you know, and my mom, when she was still alive, when she looked at me, she still saw me as her baby. And she treated me that way. You can ask my wife. My wife would get mad at her when we were younger, you know, because we were married and she would call up the house and say, "Tell Mike to come down and eat with me." And she'd say, "What about me?" "Well, it's my mommy, not hers." Yeah, no. When she said that, she meant all the family come, but because you know how you ladies are sometimes, you're so detailed. Pastorette was that way. If she didn't name her, right, Pastorette, back in the younger days, I mean, you know. Now, then she got to the point she'd say, "Call down and tell Ma Still to make us some gravy and biscuits Saturday." You know, after a while, you know, things. After the newness, I'm his wife, I'll take care of him, wore off. Then it was all right for Mom. But Mom always saw her kids. They were still her babies. When Pastorette looks at Stephanie now, she still looks at her as her baby. Amen. That's what mothers do. Once they see their child, that child will just always be their baby. And here's the thing. They'll do anything to protect that child. Amen. Now, you know, I'm talking about real mothers here now. Okay? I'm talking about real mothers, not just a woman that has a child. Come on now. It works the same way with fathers. There are women that have children that are not really mothers. They may have mothered a child, but they're not a mother to that child. Same way with fathers. Right? Come on. So I'm talking about real mothers, how that once they've made that bond with that child, that bond can't be broken. Amen. So I want to show you something over here in 1 Kings just to kind of to amplify this thing. 1 Kings chapter 3. Look at verse 16 here. Let's read this story. It said, "Then came there two women," that we're talking about coming to Solomon here in his wisdom. It said, "Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, 'O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman delivered also, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me, while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son which I did bear.' And the other woman said, 'Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son.' And this said, 'No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son.' Thus they spake before the king. Then said the king, 'The one saith, This is my son that liveth, and thy son is the dead. And the other saith, Nay, but thy son is the dead, and my son is the living.' And the king said, 'Bring me a sword.' And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, 'Divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other.' Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, 'O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no ways slay it.' But the other said, 'Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it.' Then the king answered and said, 'Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof.'" Now notice that story. See, that's the real love of a mother. That's a real mother. She was willing, if she had to give that child to that other woman so that that child wouldn't be harmed. That's what I'm telling you. A mother will do anything for her child. She'll do anything for that child. Now, I'm just going to talk a little bit to you now and just see if I can touch some things here. Having a child is the most life-changing experience in a woman's life. Okay? It's the most life. You say, how could you know that as a man? Well, I've observed some things over my last 63 years. And one of the things that I've noticed there is that when they first get pregnant, you know, I mean, you know, they're just glowing, right, moms? You're just going, oh, we're pregnant. We're going to have a baby, right? Come on now. You know, you're calling everybody, yes, we're expecting. And everybody, you're so excited, you know, and, you know, you rub your belly and pat on your belly, but then your belly starts to grow, right? And the belly starts getting bigger, and all of a sudden you think, I don't have any clothes to wear. I got to get me some clothes. You know? And so you get some clothes, and then, you know, after a little while, your belly grows some more, and you got to have some more clothes. You know? Now all of a sudden, we've been doing this now for 9 months. And now you're walking around like this right here. When's this thing going to come out? I can't wait till I think I'm going to go be induced. Come on, moms, is that not right? I mean, in 9 months, you are ready for the baby to come. Right? It's no more. We're expecting where it's like, it's time. It's time. Let's go to the doctor and see if they'll take it. It's time. So for that first part of that 9 months, it's joy, and then but then you go into the labor room, and now you're there and you're in labor. Maybe an hour, maybe a day, maybe 3 days, and all that joy from we're expecting is now I'm going to kill you. This is your fault, right? Even though you both probably agreed to have kids, but now it's his fault. You know, you ought to be the one having to do this. Right? And the struggle is real, and then all of a sudden you're, shots, medicine, give me an epidermal, give me. Come on. And then the baby comes. And once the baby comes and you hear that baby cry, and they lay that baby in your arms, just, all that 9 months is gone now. All that pain you just went through is gone because this is my baby. Look at my baby. Isn't my baby beautiful? It don't matter if it's an ugly baby or not. It's still the most beautiful thing you ever saw because that's your baby. Right? And you don't care what nobody else thinks. You don't care if somebody thinks your baby. That's your baby. Right? Come on now, it's the most beautiful thing you've ever seen because that's something that God has given you. And so your life is changed now. Now you have this baby and then, you know, you're so happy and you're in the hospital and, you know, they're taking care of the baby and they come and let you do little things and then, you know, it's time to go home and you get to go home with the baby. Right? And you get home with the baby. And you think, oh, I'm going to get some rest now. I said, you think that. And all of a sudden you find out, this baby needs my full attention. When do I get to sleep? Right? So you find out that, if you're smart anyway, you find out if the baby sleeps, you sleep. It don't matter if it's in the middle of the day or when it is. If that baby sleeps, you sleep. Because when you want to sleep, that baby don't want to sleep. And when it's hungry, it's going to cry. And when it needs a diaper change, it's going to cry. And you find out real quick that you no longer control your life. Matter of fact, what happens is you start looking at your son. I don't have a life anymore. See, because if you're a real mother, your life has now dissipated and all your focus and attention is the life of that baby. making sure that baby is taken care of, making it fed when it's hungry, changed when it needs to be changed, making sure it gets everything it needs. No more getting up and running to Walmart at 12 o'clock at night. Come on now. No more taking a while. Hey, honey, let's run out this Friday night. Let's go to the Texas Roadhouse. But no. The baby. Come on now. Now, when they get older, that starts to change. But you find out no matter what, your life is never the same, because from now on, it surrounds making sure that child gets what it needs. So once you have a baby, your life is changed forever. And I like to tell newlyweds when they're talking about, if I'm marriage counseling, I'll ask a lot of times, you know, y'all have plan on having kids. Have you discussed having kids? How many kids have you discussed having? You say, what? Yeah, it's a good thing to ask them before they get married. Because sometimes, believe it or not, couples don't even talk about it. And one may want kids and another may not. One may want five and another may be thinking, well, hold on a minute, Buster. You're not the one going to be having them kids, right? Come on now. You know, it's all fun and games for the husband until he starts paying the bills. Come on, till college corrodes around and all those things. Come on now. I know husband's wife both work these days, you know. But I'm just saying, throw that in there with that, because, see, that's another thing you find out is you don't get a new car. You get a car that's dependable, and one, you don't get a two-seater, right? Convertible. You get a minivan, right? And you're proud to have the minivan, so you got a little room to move. And if you can, you get them to sit in the back. So when they start hollering, Mom, 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 you're just way back there. They're not right in the ear, right? we see all this coming together, and you find out my life now consists in taking care of my children and raising my children. Because that's what good parents do. That's what good mothers do. They make sure that child is being taken care of. And it's sad that we're living in a world that our government rewards having children out of wedlock. And they'll send them a check whether they're taking care of their kid or not. Come on now. You know, all those things are going on. So it's important, you know, really, when we consider kids and newlyweds. I don't know that we have any really newlyweds, and maybe we do have some newlyweds, but if you're considering marrying, it's a good thing to sit down and count the cost. Because not everybody's got grandparents or their parents that are able to help you out with your kid. Come on now. See, I grew up in a time when grandparents didn't take care of their grandkids. Did you hear me? What I'm saying is, I grew up in a time where my parents dared us to be a burden on our grandparents. Come on. They had us, and we were their responsibility. Now, we'd go visit and all that kind of stuff, but it wasn't up for my grandparents to take care of me. My mom and dad took care of me. Don't get mad at me now. I know things have changed, you know. And it wouldn't even considered that they would take care of them while we did what we wanted to do, except maybe, you know, one every now and then maybe something that came up or whatever. But then it transferred over to then me and Pastor Ed had kids. And so, you know, things had changed some. And Stephanie would like to go over to her grandmother's and she'd stay some or whatever. But we never did have Pastor Ed work because we never did want somebody else to have to take care of our kid. Now, we never did. I'm going to tell you something. We didn't live no high life. Come on. We didn't live like, you know, kings or anything. We made it. But I didn't want her to have to go out and work. I wanted her to be the one that raised our child, the one that taught our child, spoke into our child, helped her with her homework. Now, don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you about ours. But, you know, now Stephanie's had a child. And basically, you know, Pastor Ed has helped raise her because that's how times have changed. Okay? Does that mean Stephanie's a bad mother? Absolutely not. None of the rest of you. I'm just telling you how things have changed. But at the same time, we were very blessed to be able to do that. Pastorette was very blessed. She is so happy for the time she's got to spend with Lillian. But here's the thing. You have to make sure that you kind of weigh the cost to see, will I have child care? Because, you know, we do live in times now where the women have careers too. And so before you have a child, you need to kind of weigh out the thing. Have I got some? Am I going to do child care? Am I going to have daycare? Do I have parents that can help? Come on, it's all right if we just get a little practical today for Mother's Day. You see. And it's not, and you can say, well, you know, he's coming down. No. Pastor Ed and Lillian still spends every Friday night at our house. And we love it. I especially love it because she goes out and buys every kind of good food Lillian likes. It's awesome. And she tells me, that's Lillian's, don't you touch that. Right. Lillian's on there for one day. You know, you got a whole box of cakes. Right? Come on now, somebody give me an amen on that. You know what I'm saying, you know. And since Pastor Ed's not big on cakes, you know. And then so when Lillian tells her, Mama, I want some of that, I'm like, yes. You know. So it is a blessing to be able to do that. And it's a blessing when the grandparents can help. But if you don't have any, it's a good thing to weigh it out. Okay, so consider the cost before you have the kids, because there are those, you know, that just having kids and the system's taking care of them, and I promise you that's not a good way. It's not good for the kids to have to go into some kind of, you know. And can I just say one other thing? And I got to hush. I know I'm getting a little rambly here, but isn't it sad that good parents or good couples that want to have a child and can't have a child, can't get to have a child because they want to charge them $15,000, $20,000, $25,000, $30,000 to get a child. And people's giving them up every day. And I'm going to get somebody get mad at me. But then a couple that's not a husband and wife can go get a child just like that. Because they're afraid it's politically correct to do that. It's sad, but it's true. You see it happening all the time. You know. And so, you know, we have to make sure that we take care of those kids to the best of our ability. And mothers, nobody does it like you. Nobody does it like you. You guys, as the song said, you guys are the bomb. You know why you go through all that? It's because God has placed a love in you like the love that's in Him. I really believe that. You guys love your kids the way God loves His children. The Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him wouldn't perish but have eternal life. No matter where we are, no matter where we've been, no matter what we've done, God loves us and sees us as His children, just like moms do. It doesn't matter how bad we've been, what we've done. Moms still look at that kid, and that's still their kid. It always will be, no matter how. She'll do everything she can to raise him right, and if he goes wrong or she goes wrong, they'll still love them just the same. That's just the way a mom is. You know what? It's the same with God. No matter what we've done, no matter where we've been, no, it doesn't matter how bad we've been, God still looks at us as His children. Now, some of His children are home. Some of you are born again. Some of His kids are estranged. What's that mean? That means they've separated themselves from God, but they need to come home. And then there's some kids that need to come and meet their father for the very first time. They need to come and experience the love of the Father. Can I say this to you? Even if you've never been able to experience the love of a mother, if you'll come to Jesus, if you'll come to God, you'll experience a greater love than a mother ever could give, because no greater love has anybody than God for you. You're a special creation. He created you. He created the mothers. He created the fathers. And He created all of us because He loves us. Mothers love their children. The Heavenly Father loves all of His kids. And today, I just want to thank you, mothers, for being good mothers and real mothers. Because we need more of them. We need mothers that will lay down the law. Amen. We need mothers that'll tell their kids, this is it and this is the way it is. The world's telling you, oh, you can't raise your kids like that. You've got to be able to, you know, talk to them, put them in the corner, have a discussion with them. That's all right. Have a discussion if you want to. And that discussion needs to be this. Quit doing that. You do it again, I'm going to whip you. Oh, no, you should never. Well, does God not know how to raise kids? Have you not read the Bible? It talks about the chastening of your kids in the right way. In the right way. And it also says if you leave that child untrained, or if you don't whip your children, they'll bring you to shame. I'm not talking about child abuse. I'm not talking about beating. I'm talking about somebody didn't have any sense when they thought they could tell you how to raise a child better than God. Right? You know, the old adage always was when I was growing up, you know, spare the rod, spoil the child. I can remember plenty of times when my mommy would whip me with a switch or a belt or sometimes whatever she could get her hands on. But she didn't hit me in the head. She didn't slap me. She whipped me on the butt. Amen. You know what? I remembered it. Okay. Now, my mom wasn't as tough as my dad. Because when Dad brought the belt out, it was business. And it was business that you didn't forget for a while. But you know what? The next time you got ready to do something, you started thinking about that belt. Amen. I remember Brother Charles said that his mommy, when they'd do something wrong, his mommy said, wait till your daddy gets home. She didn't even bother. She wouldn't wait for daddy to get home. He said, man, we'd have to go all day sweating, waiting on daddy to get home. Because we know we got it. But you know what? When his daddy got home, his mommy would say, Charles Hart did that. Charles, come here. Why? Because the mommy held her ground. Moms, hold your ground with your kids. Sometimes you're the only one standing between them and hell. You're the one standing. You're the one taking care of them. You're their shield against what's out there. You say, what about the dads? Well, a lot of times the mom's got a lot more time with the kids and you're around them a whole lot more. And you're able to imprint yourself and put yourself into them. Make sure you make good use of that time. Your child will never forget it. Don't ever think my child will hate me. Because when I think back now to all those times, I used to get mad at my mom. I'd think to myself, I hate her. I just hate her. Man, do I love her. And do I love her for what she did? Absolutely. A child doesn't understand because they don't know. But when you do something in love, you chastise them in love. You whip them in love because you don't want them to get in trouble. They'll never forget it. It'll always be there. It's the same way with the Father. The Father will chastise us, and it's because we know we've done wrong. He doesn't do it because He hates us, not because He's a mean God, but He's a loving Father, and He does it because He loves us. He loves you the way a mother loves her child. So I'm going to ask you to stand with me, if you would. And let's pray right now. Father, thank You, Lord God, for...